All right, we'll give you a little chance to warm up, to shift here. Let's try that one more time. Happy New Year! There it is. Well done. What a gift it is to be here, to gather in this that we get to call our church. If you were with us last week, we had amazing discussions and talks about discerning where we are going, what's coming next for us as a church. Now, as part of those discussions, we laid out a few different options, but I want to remind us that this is a discernment process, that in no way have we arrived at a decision. We are intentionally processing. And so as God is bringing to mind, bringing to light things that are standing out, we invite you to have those conversations with each other, with our board, so that we can keep discerning where God would have us, where he would have us worship, and where he would have us on mission. And so just invite you to keep pressing in there, keep pressing in. A couple of detailed things here before we jump into our message. The first is that Freedom Session is starting up this coming Tuesday at 7 o'clock. We're meeting at CMC. Freedom Session is for anybody who has ever struggled in their lives. Freedom Session is for anybody who has found that there are patterns that they can't seem to break out of in their lives. Freedom Session is for anybody who wants to live a free life. Now, just one other note, I've said this before, it's not a magic pill. You don't show up and take the Freedom Session pill and you're good. It's you show up and you let God do amazing work on your lives, which, like everything else, takes us responding to God's initiation. So that's this Tuesday starting at 7 p.m. at CMC. Second thing is pizza and friends at Russ and Julie's home. Russ and Julie, throw your hands up right there. There's Russ and Julie. And because it's winter, we're blessed. It's going to be every second week for how many months? Until they tell us otherwise. So this coming Friday, what time do you want people there? 6 o'clock. This coming Friday, 6 o'clock at Russ and Julie's. And then it will be in 2 weeks. Now, check your email because we'll remind you that way as well. And that's just a friendly reminder. When the email goes out from the office, there's important details in there. Have a read through those. Take a look at what it says. And it helps us know that you're actually hearing what we're saying. And we've got this cool feature on it. It tells us how many of the emails are actually opened. So we know when you're actually reading what we're sending. So open those emails. Last thing is that 2019 offering envelopes are available for you to pick up. They're at the Welcome Center, the Connect Center in the back. Let me pray. Father, we gather as your church, as your children, and this is the start of a new year. And at the start of a new year, there's lots of encouragement, lots of challenge, lots of ideas of how to take these next new steps. And so as we do that, Lord, as we look at that, as you bring to mind areas that you want to grow us and develop us and shape us, physically, emotionally, spiritually, Lord, we just ask that you would give us a discernment and how to press in. And today, Lord, as we talk about the new name, the new identity that we have in you, we just pray, Lord, that you would bring to life hope. We pray that you would bring to life a truth, and that you would reveal any areas that we need to lay down or release. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Hosea 2:21 says this, "In that day I will respond, declares the Lord. I will respond to the skies, they will respond to the earth will respond to the grain, the new wine, the olive oil, and they will respond to Jezreel. I will plant her for myself in the land. I will show my love to the one I called not my loved one. I will say to those called not my people, You are my people. And they will say, you are my God. We have a bit of a dilemma. We have a bit of a problem. We have a bit of an issue in our lives. And see, the issue that I want to draw attention to is that as we move through lives, we pick up various names. We pick up old names. And these old names can influence and direct us as we live. To a certain degree, it's like we're wearing old name tags. Perfect. And I'm not sure if you can see this name tag that I'm wearing right here. But what it has my name, which is Joel. Hi, I'm Joel. And on it, it says the Resort Municipality of Whistler. Now, this is a name tag that for some reason I thought I'm going to keep this name tag because it holds some significance to me. When did I get it? I got it when I graduated from high school. And throughout high school, especially in the last couple of years, I determined I wanted nothing more than to be a ski bum. I wanted to live the dream and ski every single day for a season in Whistler. I mean, what better place to ski? Sometimes the snow is a little heavy, but still. And so I actually did that. I achieved that. I went there. And what I would do is I got jobs that I could work in the evenings or early mornings so that nothing interfered with my skiing. I didn't want to work at the ski hill because that meant I couldn't ski at the ski hill, right? And so as I look at this name tag, there's an implication for me of working. There's an implication of being a ski bum. There's an implication of a love of outdoors. It also implies something that for a season I put in place of my relationship with God. Now, I'm not saying it's like that for everyone who moves to Whistler. That's up to other people. I'm saying that's what it was for me. See, early on in my life, I discerned a call to ministry. I was hurt in church, even at the young age of junior high and high school, and I thought, that's it, I'm out. I'm going to pursue things that make me happy and fulfill me. And guess what? I got to the end of that year, and it didn't fill me up. Right? It just didn't fill me up. And I had this name, this tag, this pursuit. Right? Here's another story of a name tag that I received when I was younger. I grew up and I was decent at school. I was fairly natural at a young age with math. I could get it. I could do it. I could make it happen. So much so that in our junior high school, they had a math 8 enriched. And it's possible that I've shared this story before you because it traumatized me so much. I'm over it now, but it's still relevant. So if you've heard it, bear with us. I got to grade 8 enriched math, and the way this teacher taught, I just couldn't quite get it. And then it seemed, my perception was, he started to come after me in the midst of the class. And all of a sudden, I shut off. And my ability to do math prior was all of a sudden non-existent. And then he started to make comments, which I don't believe he ever told me, you're a math idiot. But what I heard was, Joel, you're a math idiot. And what came next, eventually, was a trip to the counselor's office where they said, hey, you know what, you've done really good, and we're going to slide you to a different class, Joel, which meant you're going to go to the special math class. And from that point on, the name tag that I had and attached to was, I'm a math idiot. Now, it doesn't stop there, does it? For me, all of a sudden, it wasn't just math, it was school in general. And I started to move through school and go, man, I'm not good at school. I don't learn. I don't get it. I don't understand. And that was pretty much the rest of my journey through junior high and high school. Favorite classes? Woodworking and PE. Everything else just didn't work. What happened was I got to my undergraduate degree and I had to have a math class, and I went into it with great trepidation, and I found that actually I wasn't a math idiot and that I could do math, and that, wait for it, I even liked math a little bit. Old names, old name tags, things that impact us. Now, each and every single one of us here have different names. And if the name that you have is anything other than flowing out of a child of God, it's a false name. Now, it could be that as a child of God, math isn't my greatest strength, but that doesn't change my value. But the way that I interpreted that first thing was it was connected to my value. Now, what we read about in Hosea here is the new names that are given. Let me give you just a little bit of a background of Hosea. And you'll remember this because this is actually how we entered into our Advent season. And we talked about God's initiation, his movement, that despite chasing after sacred raisin cakes, remember we talked about sacred raisin cakes at a cinnamon bun up here? Despite that, God still pursued us and brought us back into relationship. The book of Hosea is a unique book because the prophet Hosea is called to live out an example of what God lives out with us. So he's not tasked with just telling the people about God. He's tasked with living an example. And so Hosea is this prophet who God says, take a wife. And it's not just take a wife, it's take an unfaithful wife. Take a wife who's going to go out and have affair after affair after affair. Take a wife who you're going to bring back to your house, to your marriage bed, and she's going to leave it and go and sleep with other men. Now, don't just take the wife, but take your wife, Hosea, and her name was Gomer. Take Gomer and give her everything she needs. Care for her, nurture her, give her anything that she physically, emotionally, anything that she needs. And, so not just those things, remain faithful. So even when she's leaving and going out, stay faithful to her. Don't divorce her the way that the law says you can. Stay faithful to her. Now what happens is, and this is where we're focusing on the new names, is Hosea is called then to name the children that he and Gomer have after the actions of the Israelites. Now, if you're like me, you're reading this and you're going, if you know what's coming, you're going, how is this possible that the children have to carry these mantles? That's not fair. That's harsh. That's awful. And yeah, that's harsh for the kids. The other part of it is the hope that's restored after this. We all right here, buddy? All right. We got a buzz out of that one? Dial that in. We don't need a buzz distracting us. Dial that in. Now, here's the thing. Name the children according to the Israelites' behavior. Now, what I want us to understand is it's actually the Israelites' behavior that gives them the names. And these children that are part of the metaphor and the journey receive these names. The first name is Jezreel. And this name means judgment. Jezreel means judgment. And it means God will scatter. So this first child, this boy who's born, is given the name God will scatter. The second is a girl, and she's given the name Lo Ruhama. Lo Ruhama, and it means, I will no longer show love to the house of Israel. I will no longer show love to the house of Israel. And then after a time goes by, she gives birth to a boy, and he is given the name Lo Ami. You are not my people, and I am not your God. See, the Israelites, no matter what God did, no matter how he came after them, continued to seek everywhere else for their needs. They kept looking, they kept searching, they kept seeking. And so God said, here's what's happening. There's judgment. Your actions have removed yourself from my love, from my pity. And by your actions, what you've done is you've rejected me as your God. And so what God is doing there is he's saying, I accept. I accept that you have pushed me away. Is it what God wanted? Absolutely not. But God's saying, hey, you've actually chosen, and I accept it. I'm not happy about it, and I'm not going to give up. I'm not happy about it, and I'm not going to give up. Now we're going to come back to that, but I want to reread you what I read at the start. In that day, I will respond, declares to the Lord. I will respond to the skies. They will respond to the earth. The earth will respond to the grain, the new wine, olive oil, and they will respond to Jezreel. Now here's the thing. Jezreel means two things, okay? It means God will scatter and destroy, but it also means God will scatter and sow seed. God will scatter and sow seed, which is why you see this metaphor of earth, grain, wine, olive oil. I will plant her for myself in the land. God's saying, I will plant my people who were judged. I will plant them. I will restore them. They will be new. I will plant them in the land. I will show my love to the one I called not my loved one. Lo Ruhama. There's those two last names, Lo Ruhama, Lo Ami. The Lo essentially means not. It cancels out the name. And God is saying, I will show my love to the one I called not my loved one. You will now be my loved one. The last I will say to those called not my people, you are my people. So the name instead of Lo Ruhama is Ruhama. The name instead of Lo Ami is now Ami. You are my people. Why? How? How do we get there? How does this happen? How this happens is in Jesus. How this happens is the work of the new covenant in Jesus. And this is where we land on, I am new, I have a new name, the old has gone, the new is here. Do you have that slide up there, Peyton? Can we get that slide up? There it is. Okay, I want you to speak this out with me, church. Here we go. I am new, I have a new name, the old has gone, the new is here. And what this comes from is Paul speaking to the church in 2 Corinthians 5. And he's telling them that because of the work of Jesus, the old has been conquered, the new is here. The old has been eradicated, the new is here. You're no longer your old name tag. You are now new. You are made new. I want you to speak this out with me again, and I want you to think about it. I'm going to give you about 5 seconds, and then we're going to say, I want you to think about it, and then I want you to say it out loud with me, okay? Don't count the five. I'll count the five. Just think about it. Think about what it means. All right, here we go. I am new. I have a new name. The old has gone. The new is here. Now here's the struggle, here's the issue, right? As I can hear, even as we're saying it, that we don't quite believe it. I can hear that we get it in theory, we get it because we've read it, we get it because it's something that we say all the time, but we're not quite living into the newness. Would you agree? Or everybody's just dead asleep still, and you're not communicating what you're feeling and experiencing. So, what is your old name? What are your old names? What are you carrying? And here's the thing, church: your new name, not only does it impact you, but it impacts your participation in worship and your mission. We understand that we were created to worship God. We understand that we are invited and called into mission. Yes? That's just a part of who we are as followers of Jesus. Now, what I want to offer you are a few signs that you are in need of your new name. You're in need of your new name. You're in need of living the new name that you have in Jesus. There's a recent leadership article where the author spoke about three things Christians do that non-Christians despise. Three things Christians do that non-Christians despise. And there's a number of other ones. Let's see. Yeah, that's all up there. Okay. Try not to read too far ahead. They're judge, being hypocritical, and stinking at friendship. Judging, being hypocritical, and stinking at friendship. Now, these subtitles are mine that I've used to flush this out. So what does it mean to judge? What does it mean to judge? See, here's the thing. If we're not living in our new name, then really we're living under our old name and we're thinking that we're still condemned and that we're still judged. And what happens is that if we believe that we are under judgment, we will be judgmental. Do you know what I mean? If we believe we're under judgment, then we will in turn be judgmental. What does judgment look like? It means accusations and assumptions without relationship. It means that I look at somebody and go, I don't quite have enough relationship that I'm going to have a conversation with you. I'm actually just going to, on my own, assess you're doing this for this reason. And so I've made an accusation. Oftentimes I've made an assumption. This happens in marriage. Doesn't it? This happens in parenting. And what happens when you're not functioning in a healthy place is the judgment out receives an equal judgment back, and it's this awful cycle that spirals into chaos. And we as a church seem to have a gift at being judgmental. We got to stop. We got to stop doing it to ourselves. We got to stop doing it to the world. We've got to stop accusing. We've got to stop assuming, and we've got to build a relationship. Okay? The second is being hypocritical. And see, if we live without faith, that is believing in what God has promised, we will be hypocritical. As in, do what I do, but just don't watch. Do what I say, just don't watch what I do. What does hypocrisy look like? Hypocrisy is a know-it-all who doesn't do it at all. Hypocrisy is a know-it-all who doesn't do it at all. It's like a parent correcting their child, make sure you don't get caught up in addiction to technology, and meanwhile they can't get off a device. Right? It's like looking at somebody and saying, hey, don't talk about that other person, and then turning to somebody else and telling what that other person was talking about. It's a know-it-all who doesn't do it at all. That's hypocrisy. Remember, these are all signs that we need a new name. And if we're honest, we're falling within these. We're falling within these, and we're needing our new name. We're needing our new name. Last one is we stink at friendship. If we live not trusting in the friendship of God. Remember John 15, Jesus talks about, you are my friends. And if you're my friends, do what I'm telling you to do. If we live not trusting in the friendship of God, we will be insincere in our friendship with others. What does stinking at friendship look like? It means relationship with strings attached. It means I'll help you, but you better help me back. And if you don't, I'll gossip about you. If you don't, I'll never talk to you again. If you don't, right? Or it looks like I'll receive from you, and if I have time, I'll reciprocate. Living into the new name. Living into the new name. Hosea 2:21 says, in that day I will respond, declares the Lord. What's that day? That day is the new covenant. That day is where we come under the authority of Jesus. That day is when we confess that on our own we're lost. That on our own we're stuck. That even as we keep turning back and keep trying, it's not working. God, we need you. Here's my life, Lord. Come into my life. In that moment, we are sealed with a new name. And that new name, the first part of that new name is son or daughter of the Most High King. Son or daughter of God, adopted child, with all the rights, with all the privileges, with all the access, with all the authority, in that moment. In that moment, that's what we have access to. Now, the struggle is when we keep living back into those old names, isn't it? When we keep living back into judgment, when we keep living back into hypocrisy, when we keep thinking of friendship. Remember these names that God changed. God changed Jezreel from I will scatter and destroy you, you stand in judgment. Two, I will plant you. I will sow you like a seed. I will multiply you. What happens when seed is planted? Growth, fruit, food, abundance. I will show my love to the one I called not my loved one. Lo Ruhama becomes Ruhama. The lo is gone. The not is gone. I will say, you are my people, and I am your God, to those I said were not. Lo, a me becomes a me, my people. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old has gone, the new is here. Can we have that slide back up there, Peyton? I am new. Just a few back, the one that we were speaking out. There it is. Church, this is truth here. This is truth. I want you to speak it out with me. Ready? And three. I am new. I have a new name. The old has gone. The new is here. Now, here's the other side. Here's the flip side. Here are the signs that you are living with your new name. Now, can we get these up here? So what I've done is I've put a Hebrew word in front of the negative. Low judgment. Low judgment. It means not judgment. What's the opposite of that? It's acceptance. You are accepted. You make a mistake, you are accepted. You're welcomed. You're loved. It's this relationship that's free from accusation, from assumptions. There's room to question. There's room to trust. And most importantly, there's forgiveness. There's forgiveness. There's forgiveness. Forgiveness erases judgment. It's what God did, isn't it? He canceled the judgment by forgiving us through the work of Jesus. That's a sign that you're living with your new name. Low hypocrisy, as in not hypocrisy, as in living authentically. It means doing what you can, acknowledging that you don't know it all and you can't do it all, but Jesus does. And what you can't do, he can do. And you don't have to pretend, you don't have to be worried, because God's got all of this. Low hypocrisy, not hypocrisy, living authentically. That's signs. That's a sign that you're living in your new name. Low, stinking at friendship. I couldn't figure out a single word that stood for stinking at friendship. Low, stinking at friendship, not stinking at friendship, is true friendship. It's relationship without strings attached. It's I'll help you without expecting you'll help me back, but trusting as we go, you'll want to work it out. It's I'll receive from you with the anticipation of being able to share back what I have. It's loving and living and being honest. Those are signs that you're actually living with your true name. Your true name. Spread like seed. Loved, pitied, embraced by God, his child. Now, here's the thing that in our circles, we say these isms, we say these, this is what it looks like, we say these ideas that I am new, and yet we sit in our old ways. We struggle in our old ways. We turn back and fight again and again and again our old ways. And what I want to offer you today are a few steps to engage in. And these steps come from, as suggested by Dr. Caroline Leaf. Anybody heard of Dr. Caroline Leaf? Yes, a number of people. Beautiful. I'm going to read what she is, and it intimidates me even as I read it, so I might do the same for all of us. But a cognitive neuroscientist with a PhD in communication pathology and a BS, Bachelor of Science in Logopedics and Audiology, specializing in metacognitive and cognitive neuropsychology. I had to look lots of those words up. You might have to as well. And that's okay. Jody sent me a podcast where she was interviewed by a pastor named Stephen Furtick, who pastor at Elevation. They've got a number of worship songs that we even sing. And what I'm going to try and do is give us a couple of bite-sized steps to take from here. Now, I'm going to give you a little bit of history, and I'm trying to condense what was a long conversation in a number of books. So I'm going to give you some pieces, and then we're just going to go step by step through a few things here. What she says in this podcast is that we've got an issue around us. We've got a culture of blame. Even within our Christian world, we have a culture of blame. We blame each other. We blame God. We blame the devil. And we don't take responsibility for anything that we are doing. And her call was, really, we have to look at what love looks like. That is, look at who God is. Look at what God has done. Look at the way that God has made a way. And then we actually have to make steps. See, when she asserts, when we continue to make decisions that are wrong. So even to say, I am made new, but in your heart go, I don't really believe it because I'm still trapped doing the same exact things. What she's saying is that from a scientific level, you're actually damaging your brain. You're causing brain damage when you're not believing what you're saying and when you continue to do things that are actually bad or wrong. She talks about incoming signals, upcoming signals, and that every 10 seconds we have the ability, actually, regardless of our awareness, we're responding in some measure. Now, an upcoming signal is a thought or response or idea or word or something in response to an incoming signal, which is we're perceiving, we're watching, we're taking in, we're gathering data. And that every 10 seconds, we're responding. And so every 10 seconds, if we're responding negatively, we're guiding these pathways. And in a sense, we're guiding our pathways that are solidifying our old names. Do you understand? Make sense? We're guiding ourselves into keeping our old name tags. And so what the call is here, what she's admonishing and what different people are saying in different ways. In fact, this comes up in Freedom Session. And Freedom Session is a longer way of processing out. Is you have to actually have a degree of self-regulation and reflection. And you have to reconceptualize what is going on. Now here come the steps. For how do you actually step into the new name? How do you step into the new name? Now, if you're here and this is something you're going, I actually do want a new name, I would encourage you to take notes. I would encourage you to write this down, okay? The first part, and this can happen during, but she recommends it before, is freaking out in the love zone. Can you say that with me? Freaking out in the love zone. I want you to remember that. Freaking out in the love zone. And what that is you have a friend that you trust. You have a friend that you trust, that you have the ability to share anything with. And that's the space where you go and you're honest. Now that freaking out in the love zone can happen on your own. It should be happening regularly in prayer, but in order to take the next step, it actually has to be unearthed and come out. Jesus, when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, would be an example where he was freaking out in the love zone. He's saying, God, is there any other way, God? Was he denying God? No. Was he bearing his heart before the living God? saying, is there any? Yes. He was freaking out in the love zone. David, when he confesses, when he rails against, when he displays his anger before God as part of a psalm, is freaking out in the love zone. It's where you actually give voice to your lack of control in the situation and your need for God to intervene. Trying to change your old name in old ways is not going to result in a new name. God does the new name work. Freaking out in the love. Okay, you with me? So that's the first step. And this is where the reconceptualization happens. Now, if you've already got a time daily where you're spending in prayer before God, this is going to be beautiful. This is something that you wrap into that time and you let him do some amazing work. If you don't have that regular time, then I'm going to challenge you that you need that time. Not only that, now before I give you the steps, the amount of technology that our culture has engaged in has dramatically shifted the way that we even think and process. This is a little tangent, but it's important for this next step. So much in the last 50 years, what she says from a research perspective, it's like we're gathering all of these puzzle pieces. We keep gathering puzzle pieces, data info, as much data as you want. Now, is that wrong? Is that bad? No, not on its own. It's not wrong. Technology is beautiful. It's a gift. And we as Christians are actually called to redeem it. So we can't just sit here and say, it's bad, it's bad, it's bad, it's bad. No, when it becomes an addiction, it's bad. But on its own, it's not. We're gathering all these puzzle pieces, but we're never assembling the puzzle. Right? The puzzle gets bigger, gets bigger, it gets bigger, it gets bigger. We're not even sorting the colors. We're not even putting the sky goes and the mountains where the mountain goes. We're not even separating the edge pieces. Any puzzle people out there? Yeah, a few. And so what she's saying is, hey, even apart from this next step, you need to just take 16 minutes a day for your soul's sake and stop. Put your phone away, put your anything away, put your kids to bed or wake up before them, whatever, and find somewhere and just sit and let yourself daydream. Let your mind reset. Make space for God to do his work, okay? So, make sure that's happening. Now, here's how you step into the new name process. There's five steps, okay? The first step is this. You gather awareness. Now, that awareness is coming generally, speaking from your freaking out in the love zone. So what is that? Yeah, I keep judging people. I keep condemning people. I keep that's right. He's with me. I keep pointing at people and I can't stop. God help me. Or I keep going back to pornography. I can't. As soon as my house is empty, I just can't stop it. Or every time I drive by the liquor store, I have to go and keep make sure my cabinet's stocked. And I just can't freaking out in the love zone. So your first step is gather awareness. What is the old name tag that you're struggling with? Okay, that's step one. Now, each of these steps, all you're doing is spending about a minute and a half to 2 minutes, maybe three. Okay. So gather awareness is the first step. The second is you ask, you answer, and you discuss. With who? Well, how are you doing this if you're doing it by yourself? Guess what? When you know Jesus, you're not by yourself. You ask God's Spirit. You answer God's Spirit as he asks you. And then you discuss. This is our dialogue prayer that's happening with God, the Holy Spirit. This is where we're cultivating relationship with God. This is where we're hearing and we're listening. Okay, so you're asking, answering, discussing. That's the second thing. The third is you write down what it is you're hearing. You write down what it is you're hearing. Maybe it's you're looking at pornography because you're so lonely and you're blaming your spouse or your ex-spouse for that loneliness. And really, I want to fill that space in your heart. It's one example. So you write down what it is you're hearing God's Spirit say to you. Number four is you just pause and you read it. This is all part of this prayer. This is all part of God shifting what's going on. Number five, the last thing is, what am I going to do? What is the active thing that I can implement? The call out, the call to live into the new name. See, you have a new name. You have a new name. And it's time to put the old name and the old ways aside. You have a new name. You have everything that you need for life and godliness. It's already ours. Church, it's already ours. We start from Jesus as sons and daughters, not just as part sons and daughters that have to earn the next level, but as full sons and daughters. But the invitation then is to live that way. The invitation then is to make decisions that point us towards God. Now, here's what's going to happen. Here's what's going to happen. And as she was sharing this, I was watching both my experience and watching other people's experience as they move through things like a freedom session. Days 1 to 4, as you do these 5 different things, you're going to say, I can do it. I'm invigorated. This is beautiful. This is great. This makes sense. Yeah. That's day 1 to 4, okay? Day 4 to 5, all of a sudden you don't feel it, right? Day 4 to 5 is like, was I really actually experiencing what I thought I was experiencing back there? And so what's the temptation after day 4 and 5, all of a sudden you're not feeling it, what do you do? I'll go try something else. That's not going to work, because you're trying something else is going to be your old name tag. Right? Okay. Day 6 and 7, all of a sudden, so if you push through that first little phase, day 6 and 7 is where all of a sudden there starts to be a transformation. Now, scientifically speaking, she talks about there's actually a change in your brain. So all these neural pathways, they actually start to change. So what is she saying? Is does science become her God? No. What she's saying is that the way that we're actually physically created matches exactly with what God says he does. Right? All right. Now, here's the thing. The temptation for after day 6 and 7, when you go, there's a transformation. Oh, this is amazing. The temptation is, I'm going to stop now. I'm good. I've got this thing all sealed up. I'm good. I'm going to walk away changed. Boom. And there's this thing that happens that they've watched on their monitors as they've got all the probes and things, and it's called the denaturing. It's where the changes that were starting to happen dissolve, and there's heat flashes that they can see. Amazing, right? Now, here's the thing. If you keep going, day 7 to 14, you're feeling, I've got it, but don't stop. And she made a really funny comment that after day 14, if you stop doing this process, this 5-step process, what happens is you become very discouraged because the denaturing happened. It shifts your brain. You become very discouraged. You come and say, will you pray for me? Will you pray for me? And I laughed out loud. I was listening to this by myself. I laughed out loud because she said, don't pray for those people. I went, what? Don't pray for those people because they need to take responsibility. And as you say, go back to God, go back to your new name, you're actually sending them back to the source of the one who will change and heal them. But there's a need here, church, for us to take responsibility. All the work is done, but now we have to take responsibility and step into it. It's all done. It's all done. We need to stop blaming other people. We need to stop blaming the enemy, because we have victory over the enemy when we need to start stepping into it. Okay, so we're at day 21 now. How's everybody doing? We get to day 21. Here's where it changes from short-term to self-sustaining, but it's not yet a habit. How many days do you have to do this to get to the habit? How many days? How many do you think? Any ideas? I can't hear you. 30 more than 30, 40 more than 40, 60 more, just a little more than 60, 63. 63 days is the scientific number. By day 63, something becomes, there's a shift from subconscious to conscious. Now, I'm going to be totally honest with you, church. There's sometimes I feel a degree of discomfort at giving you a formula. And the reason I feel a discomfort at giving you a formula is because what's more important than the formula is the relationship that you have with the Father. What's more important is that you understand that regardless of your success or failure in doing these five steps, that you have a new name, that you are made new, that your old name is actually a lie. And that it doesn't count. You have a new name. Peyton, can we get that I am new, I have a new name slide back up on the screen one more time? Search, I just want you to hold that old name out before God. And then I want you to let God take it off. Take it off of your hand, wipe it away, just get rid of it. Okay, just do that inwardly right now. Just hold that out. And so, Lord, as we sit here in your presence, there's something from our past. There's something from our sin. Maybe it's something that somebody did to us. And you are the one, Lord, that takes that away and gives us a new name. And so we just ask, Lord, that you would be doing that right now, that you'd be showing us that. Church, can I invite you to stand up? See, there's something that happens as we trust God. There's something amazing as we press into our new name. So I want to invite you to speak this out with me again. And I want you to speak it out, seeing God having given you already that new name. You ready? I am new. I have a new name. The old is gone. The new is here. So I'm going to invite our worship team up, and we're going to move into communion. And just invite you to remain standing, and I'll pray and send us into that. Father, you have done so much. You have made a way, Lord. You've made a way, and that's what brings us to this table. That is the symbol of you being broken and the new covenant that we have in you, because you were broken and brought back to life. that slide up there one more time. See, the result of this new covenant that we hold in our hands is newness. The result of what Jesus did while we were wayward, while we were wandering, the result of his pursuit is that we are made new. So would you speak that with me one more time? I am new. I have a new name. The old is gone. The new is here. Lord, we celebrate this newness. And we embrace it, Lord. We embrace that your work on the cross, your rising from the grave, means that we are new. So, church, I invite you to take and drink. Thank you, Lord. And so, church, I want to bless you with the traditional priestly blessing. And it says this: the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. Church, go in the newness that we have in Jesus. Bless you this week.